right. Morning, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate studio on the seventh floor of the Trib Tower. Here until 5 a.m. on Triple Play Thursday. Get your requests in. One artist, three songs. Triple Play Thursday, yeah. So get that in. 312-981-7200. Text them in now. 312-981-7200. We'll play them in a little bit for Triple Play Thursday. That music that you just heard is from my guest, singer-songwriter David Hayes. He's been on the show before. About a year and a half ago you were here, I think.
Yeah.
How you doing, man?
Pretty good. And yourself?
Welcome back.
Thank you.
We were just talking Cubs.
Yeah. Talking shop.
Yeah. Now, you're a huge Cub fan.
Huge.
Yeah. And did you grow up here?
Grew up in Rockford.
Grew up in Rockford.
Yeah. Moved here in 2001.
Okay. All right. And were you a fan? I mean, you were a Cub fan back in Rockford as well?
Yes.
All your life?
All my life.
Yeah. Well, yeah. You're a good man.
Yeah. I got carded one time at Comiskey for a beer, and they said, Rockford, that's just full of Cub fans. I'm like, yeah, I'm a Cub fan.
Who, they were playing the Cubs? Were they playing the Cubs that day?
No.
Just, you were just at Comiskey.
Yeah, I like baseball.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. Yeah. And I love the fact that you call it Comiskey.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I still call it Comiskey, too.
I mean, they don't have U.S. Cellular in the city. You're roaming. So
I know.
It doesn't make sense.
I know it doesn't. But anyway, we were just talking. We were trying to figure out, you know, what's going to happen with the Cubs this year, man.
Right.
It's been a pretty amazing year, though, I got to say.
Yeah.
And you said you went to like 16 games so far.
16, and I got two or three more lined up this month.
What's your record, victory-wise?
After the past couple times, I can't remember. it's 500. It's over 500. I mean, probably 10-6.
That's good.
You know,
that's good. It's been a little rough going though. Past month.
Yeah, it's been rough.
Yeah, we were talking about how they're a little beaten up, and the pitching's not doing as well. We're talking about how Hendricks is right now, the star pitcher.
Yeah, yeah, he's been pretty solid.
Yeah. You know? I mean, all right. Things will change when Fowler gets back.
We're hoping.
All right. Well, welcome to the show, man. Rockford. Yeah. So we've talked about this before.
Yeah.
Cheap Trick fan?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. You ever get to run into those guys when you were in Rockford?
Because
I know sometimes they just walk around like they're at grocery stores and stuff.
Yeah. I haven't personally, no. I know you had Ian.
I did. I've had him on a couple times.
I've played music with him before.
Yeah.
You know, but never met the Cheap Trick people. But it's kind of funny because when I was back in Rockford, they're starting to put up signs like tribute, like Bunny Carlos Parkway.
Oh, sure.
Stuff
well,
like
now that.
That
they're in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Right.
They dominated that, by the way. Did you watch the special?
I have not seen it yet.
They owned it, man. Yeah. They really owned it. They were the last ones inducted, and they were the last ones to play on the show. And it was just great because I've been a fan. You know, one of my favorite bands of all time.
Sure.
And, let's talk a little bit about your past, how you started music and all that cool stuff.
A late bloomer.
Yeah.
Just got into it more in junior college. I went to Rock Valley College and didn't really know what I was going to do with my life. Took a music history course, liked it, bought a guitar, and then I was kind of working an odd job at a construction site. And my boss actually played guitar, so he taught me a bunch and just started learning a bunch of Beatles, started taking it seriously, and figured why not.
And your boss at the construction company?
Yeah.
Did you just say, hey man, show me a few things? Or
well, I brought my guitar. He's like, oh, you have a guitar, and he wails.
Oh, okay.
So lunch breaks ended up just being jamming out.
That's pretty cool, man.
Yeah, yeah. So then end up taking classes. Took some classical guitar at RVC before transferring to Columbia, and then studied classical guitar and jazz piano.
Yeah.
And then just songwriting.
And stayed here in Chicago after
stayed
that.
Stayed here, yeah.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah. Do you like the scene here in Chicago music-wise?
I do. It's a love-hate relationship.
Okay.
I love how much there is, but trying to get people out is a tough thing.
Yeah.
You know, and trying to pay a band, even tougher. My bass player moved to Nashville. My producer moved to Nashville. So everybody's been trying to move there and stuff like that, but I love it here.
Yeah.
But just, it's a tough scene.
Yeah.
It's not easy, but.
Well, no, you got a gig coming up, Sunday.
Yes.
At Tonic Room, which is at 2447 North Halstead. You like that room?
I do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you're playing with two other guys. It's going to be a power trio thing.
Yeah.
Where'd you get these guys?
Well, it's actually my bass player still comes up to play weddings. So he's in town, and then it's still my other drummer. So before he had moved, I started recording seven new songs. So I've got seven new songs kind of finished or close to being finished, and I have to write more. So I'm still working with the people I work with.
Okay.
I we'll probably have to find a couple subs here or there, but you know.
It's... No, so this the piece of music that I played from was from the from Epics.
Yeah,
and you re-recorded this record acoustically. Tell me about that. Like this one was a full band, full production.
Yeah.
But then you went back and reinterpreted the songs in an acoustic way. What was the reason for doing that?
Boredom. No, I mean, I'm a big fan of Led Zeppelin and I always try to mimic. I know their third album was like very acoustic-y.
Yeah. We just had a band in a little while ago who it's called Great Moments in Vinyl.
Yeah.
And it's a band that's put together by a guy named Lindsey Cochran.
Okay.
And he gets a bunch of musicians, most of them from the Old Town School of Folk here in Chicago.
Yeah.
And they play every 6 weeks or so, they do a gig at Martyrs where they pick a couple of albums by an artist and they play those two albums.
Nice.
They played Zeppelin 3 too long ago. And we had them on and talked about what an underappreciated record that is, because it is, when it came out, it was like, people were like, what is this? After Zeppelin 1 and Zeppelin 2, and then suddenly here's this mostly acoustic thing.
Yeah.
People didn't know what to make of it. But it's a great, I think it's a great record.
I love it.
Yeah.
I really do.
Yeah.
My favorite's probably Houses of the Holy, but
Houses of the Holy is your favorite Zeppelin album?
Yeah.
That's an interesting choice. It's a great record. Yeah. Mine is 2. Zeppelin 2.
Nice.
But it was inspired, like, so you re-recording this was out of boredom and inspiration by albums like that?
Yeah, kind of like that. And it's not just me and an acoustic guitar. There's still bandmates involved. And, you know, and then I can rearrange stuff to put strings on it. And, you know, I can just, I get to reimagine it a little bit and redo it. But then after a while, I could feel it was tough to kind of recapture. You know, and I felt like my producer, Greg, kind of helped kind of keep me up with it and keep it going.
Yeah.
You know, at the time where I just didn't care what we did kind of thing.
Yeah.
You know, but it was good to do.
Yeah.
You know? And, you know, I'm happy to kind of, I love recording more than anything. So I'm happy to start recording the next new stuff.
And So since the last time you were here, you've got 7 songs that you've been doing. You re-recorded this record acoustically. Have you been gigging a lot?
No, not too much. You know, I do here or there, and I don't do too many jobbing gigs or like play a bunch of acoustics and covers and stuff like that. I could.
Yeah.
I like to spend my extra time just recording and working on that stuff. You know, and then teaching music. You know, it's like extra and doing a bunch more. I don't know. I should play out more, but I just don't.
Yeah.
You know?
Do you like teaching music?
I love it.
Yeah. What age range do you do? Is it all over the place?
It is all over the place. It's, you know, ranges from 5 to 50 ish. You know.
Yeah.
Primarily more kids, but this past recital, we actually had it at the Beat Kitchen, and I had them like play as rock bands, and so I had a playlist started in September. It was in May, and I was just trying to arrange it and then put this kid on bass, put them on that, and just try to piece it together.
That's cool. How did it turn out?
I had a blast.
Yeah.
I couldn't stop smiling for about a day and a half.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
And the kids were how old?
They range from, you know, 5 to 15.
Oh, that's so cool.
And still some would, you know, go up and play just a shorter song, like the old way. But but the goal is just trying to get them to work together.
Yeah.
You know, even, I know it's a DIY kind of world, and you can record your whole album at home. I don't believe in that. I think you need help. You need other people's opinion. And I just like working with other people.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to teach that to them.
Yeah. Now, where do you teach?
I go house to house.
Oh, you do?
Private lessons.
Yeah.
So
can people go to a website or something if they've got kids?
Are
you booked?
I am booked. I after that recital, you know, something went a little viral, and I had about 6 or 7 more people trying to start.
Yeah.
I don't know where I'm going to put them. And then
yeah.
I have a little time off here in summer, and I could pick them up, you know, while some of my families are gone, but then I want to have time for my family.
For your own. Yeah, exactly.
So.
Yeah. Well, that's great, man. Well, you know, that's a good problem to have.
It is.
Yeah.
I'm very lucky.
That's very, very cool, man.
Yeah.
So let's hear a song. And is this one of the 7 new ones that you got going?
Yeah, this is.
Yeah, tell me about the song and then let's hear it.
I think this song will be the number one song on the album, or the first song.
It's the first cut?
First cut.
Yeah.
And it's called Overcome.
Okay, here we go. And this is David Hayes on WGN. Thank you.
is something you may not see. You can't take it with you when you leave, so leave a little to regret. Our failures make us who we are and give us scars to overcome these obstacles thrown in our way. Let's take a risk. Live today. It may never go as planned. It rarely ever does. The challenges ahead of every one of us. 'Cause you have to believe that there's a chance if we're to overcome. We're struggling, we're living a life that has already been. We're playing a game that we cannot win. Afraid to step out of line. There's no guarantee. Tomorrow is something you may not see. You can't take it with you when you leave, so leave a little to regret. It may never go as planned. It rarely ever does. The challenges ahead of every one of us. 'Cause you have to believe that there's a chance if we're to overcome.
Job, man.
Thank you.
Really, really good. Really good. David Hayes is with us, and he's going to be playing with a. You guys going to be a power trio.
Power trio.
Yeah.
We bring the rock.
You bring in the rock.
Oh, yeah.
To Tonic Room on Sunday, July 17th. And you want information? We have all the links on our Facebook page, facebook.com/NickDShow. We'll talk more with David and hear some more live music as well right after we take a break here on WGN. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN Triple Play Thursday. Get your requests in for Triple Play Thursday. Yeah. 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. We're going to be talking about fads in a little bit. Keep that in mind. Fads that you partook in and all that cool stuff. Because this Pokemon thing is just, I don't understand it. Singer-songwriter David Hayes is here. David, do you understand the Pokemon thing?
No. I haven't downloaded it. I hear it's getting more hits than Facebook, Instagram, and everything.
It's insane.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is.
No.
But it's
yeah.
a fad. And so
yeah.
we're going to talk about fads
yeah.
From the past and all that cool stuff. Singer-songwriter David Hayes is here, and you're prepping your new album. You've got 7 songs written already.
Yeah.
Do you have others that are kind of in the works?
I do. I always have a lot of ideas. You know, my voice memos are full on my phone, and I have a couple things demoed on Pro Tools. I would like to write a long kind of song at the end, but it's just kind of pieced together a bunch of songs, you know. I've hit a little block, and I'm not trying as hard, you know. It's a little bit of that, and usually I work better with deadlines.
Okay.
So I'm going to head back to Nashville to produce these songs a little bit more, hopefully in August. So I think that's a good deadline for me to have. And we're having a rehearsal Friday, so I'm hoping then maybe tomorrow I'll just start writing a lot more.
Yeah.
I've got one more that I've kind of got the words down, but now I just need to get more words for this next part. And then just
so the writing process for you talk about how your voice messages are full. If something comes to you, you record it?
Yeah, sometimes it's a little lick on the guitar, sometimes a vocal melody or a lyric or anything. And then it's if I actually develop it, that's where it goes, you know. But if I don't develop it, it's just another kind of dead idea.
Mm-hmm.
It's still floating there.
Now, I want to, before we break for the news, you told this story the last time you were here. You wrote a song called Paranoid.
Yeah.
And it was about you being pulled over by the cops
yeah.
and being mistaken for someone who was wanted for murder.
They called me up at home because there's a hit and run at Chicago and Ashland, same make and model as my car. And she asked me basically if I killed someone and asked about the paint on my car missing and whatever. And, I just kind of freaked out.
So you got a phone call. It wasn't even being pulled over. You got a phone call.
I got a phone call first. I got pulled over in the burbs second.
Oh, okay.
And, you know, they asked me about a headlight and stuff like that. But
and eventually what happened?
I don't know. I don't know if they ever caught the person. They stopped bothering me.
Yeah.
That was good.
But that's really weird. You pick up the phone and suddenly they're like, you know, were you at Chicago and Ashland? And
and interrogating.
And then you got a song out of it.
Got a song.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what was it? I mean, did you write the song like after the incident, like immediately after the incident happened?
That one, yeah. It was pretty darn close. It might have been after I got pulled over, like the week after, because I started writing the song in some weird, like, drop tuning on guitar, like a student that did, you know, was learning one of those songs.
Yeah.
So I think it was maybe after I got pulled over.
Yeah.
But I may have started writing the music after the phone call.
That's certainly a way to get you to write a song.
Yeah,
I mean,
you know, we're talking about how I've been in a little writer's block where, you know, you could either write a song in a day or in a couple hours or something. That one was probably a lot more quicker.
Yeah.
You know, others take a lot longer. That's a good. Good thing to...
Have you ever written? No, it's definitely an inspiration.
Yeah.
There's no question about it.
Yeah.
Have you ever written with other people? Have you ever written songs with other people?
I have in my past. Not so much these days. I mean, when I bring a song to my band, we'll start to develop it a little bit. And so that, in a sense, is...
That's a collaborative thing.
Yeah.
And when you were in other bands... have you been in bands just as a player?
Yeah.
Do you sometimes just like that? Or?
Oh, I love that.
Yeah.
Actually, I wish I was in another band like that because then I can just be me, the guitar player. I don't have to be the guitar player, singer, main spotlight kind of thing.
I
like kind of sitting back. And even at the show, I think on Sunday at the Tonic Room, the bass player will sing a song, so that'd be nice.
Yeah,
to kind of
step back a little bit.
Yeah,
that's cool.
Yeah,
and again, you mentioned you're at the Tonic Room this Sunday. What time is the show?
I believe I'm gonna get it wrong. I start near 10:30, but it all starts more, I think, 8:30.
8-ish.
Todd Kessler starts around then.
It's cool. All right, that's at the Tonic Room, 2447 North Halstead. All the information is on our Facebook page and the link to your website, David Hayes. And that's facebook.com/NickDShow. We got a break for the news. We'll come back, talk a little bit more, and then we'll hear another song.
Cool.
All right, cool. David Hayes is here, 312-981-7200 is talking text. Text in your Triple Play Thursday requests as well. The news is coming up next. Thank you.
beat. It's warm from love and cold from pain.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate studio on the 7th floor, Trib Tower. It's Thursday, Triple Play Thursday, 312-981-7200. Get your requests in, one artist, three songs. You programmed the bumps here. That was David Hayes, who's my guest. He's got a gig coming up here at the Tonic Room on Halsted, and it's this Sunday night, July 17th. Welcome back, David.
Thank you.
We were talking about the way you write music. How do you know when a song is done? Do you ever really know when it's done?
Usually you just have to accept it for something at some point, because you can sit there and nitpick it and try to get levels and mixing after that. And you just have to let it go at times.
Yeah.
And then re-record it
acoustically. That's what you do.
So it's never really done.
Yeah. So let's talk about music that you listened to when you were younger and your family situation.
Sure.
When you were growing up as a kid, you had brothers and sisters?
Yeah.
Yeah. And how'd that work out? Like,
I definitely had their influence. Mm-hmm. You know, parents listened to classical, and I remember some Disney records, and of course, everybody had Thriller.
Right.
You know.
Right.
My brother was into Metallica, Guns N' Roses, and so of course, I went to see Guns N' Roses at.
Did you go? How was it?
I loved it.
Did you?
You know, I was on the field. I don't know if. You know, the sound was the best where I was at, but it was great seeing them, you know. But then I kind of got bummed out seeing that Steven Adler has been playing a couple shows with them recently. And, you know, we didn't get that experience.
Oh, you didn't get Steven Adler?
No.
Yeah. Okay.
But still pretty good.
Did Axl sound all right? I'm not a fan of Axl's vocals.
You either like it or you don't.
Right.
I think for his age and where he's at, yeah, I think he sounded fine. And yeah. His vocal stuff is probably some of the hardest stuff to sing, up there with Robert Plant.
Yeah.
You know, just really tough.
Yeah.
So
you grew up listening to that kind of stuff?
Yeah, I definitely that kind of stuff. You know, it took me a while to kind of develop my own taste of music. You know, like I said, I'm a late bloomer. And,
yeah.
It was probably, you know, getting into the Beatles in high school was a bigger thing.
Yeah.
You know, and then, of course, moving here to the city, I finally started like jazz, you know, and it all kind of grows on me.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah. So, the jazz thing when you came here, was it just because of the city itself?
Because of the city itself, because of Columbia had a, you know, pretty strong jazz department.
Yeah.
So everybody's learning it, and that's what people were doing. So I figured I'd better get on the train.
Now, did I ask you last time you were here if you saw Whiplash?
I don't know if you asked me, but I did. The funny thing is I got it. After my recital the previous year. So, you know, I'm a pretty laid-back teacher, you know, and and then you see this guy. And
I know.
I just started laughing at it because I thought it was funny. To me, it turned into a little comedy.
Right.
But I liked it.
I love that movie. Yeah. I mean, you know, I always ask musicians if they've seen it, particularly drummers. I always ask drummers if they've seen it.
Sure.
And I had some jazz drummers in here, and one guy was just completely, like, indignant. It was like, no, that's not how it is. The guy had his drum.
Right.
You know, he was like, he had his drum set up wrong.
Right.
Just nitpicking it to death.
There was a lot of musicians that were saying all the timing's off of the music.
Right.
It's, yeah.
Yeah. I know. I totally understand. But anyway, who are some of your favorite artists of all time? Some inspiration for you?
Definitely McCartney.
Mm-hmm.
I'm in the classic rock vein a lot.
Yeah.
But as far as classical, you know, I like Chopin a lot. I like Beethoven a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I'm big on Muse. I've been listening to a lot of St. Vincent. I've been getting into a lot more Harry Nilsson lately, this past year and a half.
Yeah.
All over the board. And then, of course, my students, they come in with the pop stuff these days. So I had get exposed to new stuff, which is nice.
Yeah, that's because otherwise, you know.
Yeah.
I don't have
just
the
stuck in your
job.
Ways.
Yeah, exactly. You know, that's exactly what it is.
Yeah.
Precisely.
Yeah.
All right. I always ask this, and I know I asked, but I ask every musician this: two basic questions. I asked you this when you were here a year and a half ago. What was the first album that you ever bought?
I mean, you could say MC Hammer.
Please don't hurt him.
Yeah, something like that. But
yeah.
the first album I Houses of Holy. It was the first CD I bought. Yeah. To me, that was the first one that I really bought and kind of got into. Otherwise, is you know, I was going to say burn, but it was like making mixtapes off of other tapes or
right.
stuff like that.
Got it. All right. First yeah. concert.
I think it might have been the Beach Boys, which I was just thinking Brian Wilson's playing Pet Sounds at Saturday at Pitchforks. I thought about going to see that, but I think it was Beach Boys.
Mm-hmm.
Without Brian Wilson.
Without Brian Wilson, yeah. of course. John Stamos wasn't on drums, was he?
He might have been. I mean, it was around...
it was around that time?
I think it was. You know, and they were at the Metro Center in Rockford.
Yeah.
You know.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. All right, well, let's hear one more song, man, before right. you go. Cool. This is David Hayes. What are we going to hear here?
Uncondition.
Okay, Uncondition. This is David Hayes. He was playing at the Tonic Room on Sunday night.
All right. It's a race against the clock, she feels. So she gets a dog, but he never heals. He just buries his bone where he wants. They're a dime a dozen, and it's getting old. Cause she's trying to fill an empty hole with love, unconditional love. Somewhere there's a soul that complements your own. If you've never found your one, at least you're not alone. It's a violent world that we're living in, so she doesn't know if it's fit for a kid. All the politicians here. Some folks are taken and some are sold. Some are falling down the blackest holes of life. Will you always be by their side? By their side, yeah. Some soul that's calling out for yours. If you've never found your one, at least you're not alone. Somewhere there's a soul that's crying out for yours. If you think you found your one, you're not alone.
Great, man.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's really great. So those songs, you're looking to record those? You're going to go down to Nashville and record that and the two that you played this morning?
Those are actually recorded.
Oh, they are?
And I have them, you know, I've got, of course, more guitars on that. Like, every time I'm scatting there, those are actually the guitar solos.
Those are guitar, okay.
So sometimes I can figure out how to fill it out solo acoustically, but if I can't, then I'll scat it.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. And you're looking, but you are looking to go down to Nashville, you said, in August sometime?
In August to try to maybe start to edit those a little bit more, those songs that we have. I recorded the 7 songs before my bass player left here at the Ivy Lab Studios in Chicago. The rhythm tracks, we did that, and then spring break, I went down to Nashville and recorded all the vocals. So now it's like if we want an extra harmony vocal here, or, you know, shaker, a freaking theremin.
Yeah, there you go, man. Have some fun with it.
Yeah.
Now, when you go down to Nashville to record stuff, do you ever play gigs down there?
Well, I sat in some Monday night off of Broadway Street. It was my first time there, and the bar was dead, and they asked us what we were doing there, and you know, I said recording, and they invited us up on stage.
Oh, that's cool.
And, yeah, we played that second song you played off the bat there. And then, it's great. Mandolin player just sat in and, you know, told him the chords and he got the noodle around. And it's perfect, you know.
That's great. It's such a great town, man.
Yeah, I liked it a lot.
Yeah.
But I'm a flatlander. It's like a lot of hills. You know?
It is a lot of hills. Right, man. Yeah. There's a lot less hills in Rockford.
Right. Yeah.
Listen, man. It's great to have you in, man.
Thank you very much.
I loved it the last time you were here, and I think it was great today.
Thank you.
This is David Hayes, and your website is davidhayes.com?
Yeah.
All right.
And I'm also playing Rockford July 25th at Prairie Street Brewery.
Prairie Street Brewery, July 25th in Rockford.
It's a Monday night.
Yeah. And this Sunday night at Tonic Room on Halsted, we have all the links and all the information on our Facebook page.
Awesome.
Facebook.com/Nick D Show. Real pleasure having you here, man.
Thank you.
Have a great morning.